Policy is a tricky thing. You don't want to kill innovation, but you also don't want to enable a runaway privacy train. We might be on the train right now. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Congress may have grilled Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg this week, but generally, lawmakers have given social media and tech a regulatory pass. That's let them get huge, profitable, and potentially dangerous. And now there is at least talk about the possibility of laws that would govern our private data, who gets to have it, who doesn't, and how companies have to handle it. So all this week on Marketplace Tech, we're focusing on the data economy. Today, we're looking at the laws and policies that have been put in place around data and tech. Nuala O'Connor leads the nonprofit Center for Democracy and Technology. I asked her what policies exist now.
There aren't very many. I mean, I think that's actually an important note. It was a very intentional act in the Clinton administration and folks working in policy and in technology to let the internet flourish with a minimum of regulation. One of the pillars of it, obviously, is Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which says that online platforms do not have responsibility for the speakers, the speech, which allows places like Facebook or Twitter or other online platforms to flourish wildly. But it's been considered a success story, obviously, Silicon Valley in the United States, but with unrestrained kind of action, sometimes come unrestrained consequences.
Is there another industry you can think of that had a similar evolution where it was like, go crazy until you start to break things? I mean, I assume there are many, but is there one that springs to mind for you?
Yes, and I particularly look at issues involving the environment. So industrial and extractive industries at the turn of the century or in the late 1800s, early 1900s were doing real damage to the environment, and the successors of those companies, companies like General Electric, where I used to work, had to pay a huge price to do things like clean up the Hudson River and fix things that earlier versions of the company had done, knowingly or unknowingly, perhaps. And we need to think about what are reasonable and responsible norms and processes and mores for companies in this new industry to adhere to.
Well, and we're starting to see the impact of global law. Certainly, there's also been a lot of conversation this week about the GDPR, the European Union's general data privacy regulations that are going into effect and that could impact U.S. company behavior. Is it possible that some regulation that could change business practices will not come from the United States at all?
Oh, it is already happening. The GDPR will profoundly affect what kind of transparency and understanding individuals in Europe have about what data is collected about them. And I haven't seen a member of Congress ask this question, although I would really love it if somebody would, which is, so tell me, you're going to give rights in data to citizens of Luxembourg when my constituent in wherever, you know, Arkansas or Alabama or wherever, is not entitled to that same kind of transparency and accountability? But I think these are international systems, and it's actually easier to build to one standard and give everybody the same set of rules and rights and privileges in their data. And I think that's really why I want to see the U.S. enact a more comprehensive privacy framework rather than the sectoral one we have in kids and sex and health and finance. And as our companies and other countries' companies become truly global citizens, we need to think about more global interoperable frameworks on these issues.
Is there an equivalent that you can think of, like an international standard that kind of everyone ends up adhering to? I'm sort of thinking of like California and car emissions, but I'm wondering if there's something global.
I mean, I'm thinking really even of finance and taxation and kind of generally accepted accounting principles, taxation and finance rules, international money flows. There are lots of places where there is international accord and interoperability. And I don't want to be burdened with my data was collected by a company based in California, but the server is in Singapore and, the backups tapes are in, Siberia and my data is flowing around the world. I want to have some certainty about how it's being protected and used.
Nuala O'Connor leads the nonprofit Center for Democracy and Technology. We'll end our week on the data economy tomorrow with a look at how political campaigns started to use targeted advertising and the impact that's had all over the world. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM. Here's an investment opportunity with a guaranteed return. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than just help keep the show on the air. You actually help us grow and get better. It is a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and to make it possible for us to tell the stories of modern life through our digital economy. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thanks.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.